Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board today. It's always a joy to have you tune in to Let's Face the Issues. It's a greater joy to find you involved in the dialogue and discussion. And that's what we look forward to each day as we face the issues. Let me remind you that telephone number for the radio studios, 831-0917, 831-0917. Your simple telephone call gets you right through to the studios and right to our microphones that we can have the dialogue and discussion together. An exciting topic today, a challenging issue today, a moral, ethical, spiritual issue today that I believe every Christian needs to have a right perspective, a right idea and understanding, the Bible's position on this issue. Before we get into the issue and the monologue and the dialogue and discussion, let me say to us, you, our listener, let me say to each of us that as we face the issues, we need to do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's not a politically correct view. I understand that. In fact, many times it's not even the popular correct view as to way society views and expresses things. But may I say it's a biblical worldview, and that makes all the difference in the world. Because based on the authority of Scripture, we need to understand as Christians that we're swimming upstream. That it's not downstream at all. We're swimming against the tide. We're swimming against the moral, ethical sewer in society today. And so we need to understand what the Scripture says. And when we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the Word of God. Jesus said to his disciples in John 8:31-32, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed." In other words, Jesus said to his disciples, if you keep on keeping on in my word, not in the world, not in what the world says, but in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. And the word indeed means truly, surely, absolutely. In other words, Jesus is saying, disciples, listen to me. If you're really a follower of me, you're going to stay in my word, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then in John 17:17, Jesus gives a de facto statement about the Word of God. Jesus says, thy word is truth. He didn't say the Bible contains truth, a tidbit here and there, but he said, thy word is truth. The Word of God is the fountainhead of truth. It is the source book of truth. From Genesis through the Revelation text, it is filled with truth. It gives us a light for our pathway and a lamp unto our path and a light unto our feet. And as we look at the Word of God, it gives us directions as to how to live and how we ought to face the issues each and every day. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be talking about today relativism and our Creator. Relativism and our Creator. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in an era today where relativism, that word relativism simply means there's no right and no wrong way to do anything. There are no absolutes. It's just whatever you feel is right, whatever you think is right, you become the source of your own truth. I think I've simplified it enough that everyone can understand that. And our world is filled with that today. The American jurisprudence system is filled with that. The American political system is filled with that. The popular current view of the world today is relativism. The political correctness today is based on relativism. The fake news media, the Clinton Network News or the Communist Network News and a multitude of the other fake news media based on relativism. Whatever you think is right, you become the arbiter of the truth, and whatever you think is right becomes your truth. And ladies and gentlemen, the Socialist Democratic Party today, with all their feigned outrage over President Trump and his supposed lying, have you ever listened to them? It's a well, he lies all the time. I want somebody to ask him, just name me one. Now, I'm not saying that he doesn't. I don't know that. But I want somebody to face it when the media or others say that. Say, name one. They're talking about impeachment. Name one reason that is considered high crimes and misdemeanors that you could put your hand on that the Constitution calls for. Name me just one. And as a number of the political correct view spokespeople say, well, what he's done that's wrong, it's in plain sight. Everybody sees it. Well, Robert Mueller, even though he's an avowed enemy of President Trump, he couldn't find anything that he could put his finger on that was in plain sight. But the point that I make, we have relativism today that's filling the Socialist Democratic Party and their outrage toward President Trump's supposed lying. It seems to have an absolute no moral compass at all. The fake media and the Socialist Democratic Party together seem to have zip, zero, no moral compass at all. Why do I say that? Well, just take a quick look at their known, if you please, positions on issues that are associated with God's Word and the Bible. You see, the Bible, God's Word, is still the arbiter of all truth. The Word of God is still centrality, the centrality of everything that we think, say, or do. It ought to be the moral compass. But just think for a moment of some of the issues that, according to God's Word, the Bible, are all immoral, all wrong, and yet the Socialist Democratic Party and almost 20 candidates now running for president, I think everybody, the Democratic Party, wants to be president. I think every day there's somebody else popping out behind the scene that you've never heard of, never seen, it's an unknown, but all of a sudden they think they can muster up the money and the power and the intrigue to be nominated as president. Some of the things that the Socialist Democratic Party stands for today, that, and I'm going to list a few of them, name a few of them, so that we can set the stage on where we're going. We're talking about relativism and our Creator. The Socialist Democratic Party and the politically correct view today says that murder by abortion is all right, yet the Word of God says it's sin. It's the Word of God says abortion is murder. The Democratic Socialist Party advocating for the legalization of marijuana nationally. Yet God's Word says that there's coming a day in the final days of this old world before the rapture of the church, and after the rapture of the church, even the wrap-up of the ages before the end of the world, that we'll be in a drug-crazed society. Ladies and gentlemen, drugs, marijuana, any other drug, hallucinatory drugs, any other drug will open the human mind for demonic activity to enter in. We have a lot of demonic activity in the world today, and we're finding more and more in America today, and you wonder what caused that person to go what they're calling insane and murder so many or do this or do that. It's because of the influence of drugs that opens the mind for demon activities. How many times have we read about someone committing murder and said, well, why did you do that? I said, well, voices in my head told me to do it. And that's exactly right. It's called demons. But the Socialist Democratic Party in the politically correct view says that murder by way of abortion is all right. Legalization of marijuana on a national basis. In fact, every one of all 20 of the Socialist Democratic candidates for president, every one of them are saying they want to legalize marijuana. They want to legalize it. And yet most of those same ones are saying we need to do something about the opioid crisis in America. Evidently dumb enough, stupid enough, crazy enough, or blinded enough not to realize that the gateway to all other pharmakeia, all other drugs, whether it be prescription drugs or otherwise, the gateway is marijuana. That is the gateway drug. What about, ladies and gentlemen, the Socialist Democratic Party believing that infanticide, that's allowing a baby to be birthed and then leave that child, that baby, that human being, that infant, that helpless being over on a table and let it die peacefully. And that's the mindset within the Socialist Democratic Party today. That's the politically correct view. I'm talking about things, ladies and gentlemen, that are antithetical to what is called morally right in the biblical text, that which the Bible calls sin. Then there's the full embrace of the sodomite lifestyle. That is the LGBTQ lifestyle. And we have the total Socialist Democratic Party today that's embracing that, that's saying that it's okay. In fact, they are pushing a bill through the House now that, if passed, will make it illegal for any Christian to stand up and speak up and say anything against the sodomite lifestyle. It will make it illegal for a business to do anything or say anything in relationship to saying no to a prospective employee about coming to work with them if they're LGBTQ. It will make it a total dilemma, if you will, and a quagmire for every Christian in America. What about the persecution and the prosecution of Christians that refuse to violate their Christian conscience by saying no to a sodomite wedding or to a sodomite cake or to a sodomite invitation to make flowers for a sodomite wedding? All of this, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, the subject, the issue, is relativism and our Creator. But perhaps the greatest affront to America today, especially for a moral, ethical American, is the position of the Socialist Democrats on the sodomite issue and the candidates for president in America. The mayor of South Bend, Indiana, one that they refer to benevolently as Mayor Pete Buttigieg, and I've heard 14 different pronunciations of his name. I'm going to call it Buttigieg, Pete Buttigieg. I'm weary. I'm nauseous over his continual pushing of his sodomite lifestyle. Every time he speaks, he continuously openly brags about his husband. And his husband, by the way, it is a sodomite marriage. His husband is traveling America, talking about the love that he shares with the presidential candidate and how wonderful it is to be married to him. And Pete Buttigieg, every time he speaks, he says, and what he's trying to do is foreclose the potentiality of you or me or any other citizen or any other candidate saying anything about his sodomite lifestyle. He says, if you have a problem with me, you need to deal with my Creator if you have any problem. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me just read you a blurb or two from a couple, two or three articles, and then we'll continue. These blurbs are simply to set the stage for where we're going. We're talking about relativism and our Creator. Here's an article that's written by Kristen, K-R-I-S-T-E-N, Kristen Powers. She's a CNN anchor or spokesperson or contributor. She was formerly years ago with Fox News. She is a professing Christian, but the God that she professes to know is not the God of my Bible, very simply put. I've listened to her immoral, ungodly, unholy positions, and this is one of them. Title of the article, written by Kristen Powers, Mayor Pete Buttigieg's countercultural approach, notice now, countercultural approach to Christianity is what America needs now, end quote. And she goes on to say, in a pugilistic take no prisoner era, Mayor Pete preaches grace toward political foes while doubting Trump's Christianity. Yes, he does. Mayor Pete, as he's called, a 37-year-old Rhodes Scholar, as they brag about. He speaks seven languages. We'll talk about that later. This article, as Kristen Powers says, he's also stood out as a devoted Christian who, in speaking against the dominance of the religious right in the public square, as Buttigieg told me in an interview Friday, the left is rightly committed to the separation of church and state. But we need not be afraid to invoke arguments that are convincing on why Christian faith is going to point you in a progressive direction. Ladies and gentlemen, a Christian faith will point you in a conservative direction, not a progressive direction. Progressive meaning loose likes lost living. Progressive has nothing to do with moving forward in the right direction. It literally is moving against biblical absolutes is what it is would be doing. Ladies and gentlemen, he says he's a Christian, and he says that if you got a problem with his sodomite living lifestyle and his sodomite marriage, that then you have a problem not with him, but with his Creator. In fact, in this particular article, Kristen Powers goes on to say, Buttigieg criticized right-wing Christians for saying so much about what Christ said so little about what he said so much about. And he goes on to talk about the Christians ought to be helping the poor. He goes on to say that he's reluctant to call President Trump a Christian. Here's a man that is saturated in the sin of sodomy, living a sodomite lifestyle, and then challenging whether or not President Donald J. Trump is a Christian or not. This article goes on to say, there's so many other examples of how members of the religious right, he's speaking about us, this article speaking about you and me, it's speaking about each of us that are moral, ethical Christians who claim allegiance to the literal interpretation of the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, there's not any other interpretation of the Bible that is from the Word of God and is ordained of God. We either interpret it literally or we look at it as a myth, and if we look at it as a myth, we're just myth-taken, because the Word of God, God's Word, says what He means, and He uses the words that He means to use. Words have meaning, and every word in the Word of God has meaning. He goes on to say in this article, does Buttigieg think that Donald Trump is a Christian? Quote, this is from Pete Buttigieg. I'm reluctant to comment on another person's faith, but I would say it is hard to look at this president's action and to believe that there are actions of somebody who believes in God, end quote. Further, he says, I don't understand how you can be so worshipful of your own self as he is and be prepared to humble yourself before God. I've never seen him humble before God or anyone else, end quote. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, here's Pete Buttigieg that is as prideful as any human being could be. He's prideful in the arrogance of his sin and says that if you have a problem with his sin, he doesn't call it sin, I do, God's Word does. If you have a problem with his sin, then you have a problem with his Creator. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't have a problem with God. I don't have a problem with that. I have a problem with Pete Buttigieg that's running for president, that's living a sin-soaked sewer lifestyle, and he's saying that we the people, we the moral, ethical people in America, that it's we that have the problem. Here's an article that says, rising gay Democratic star Pete Buttigieg says that Christianity must move to a more inclusive vision to accommodate the LGBTQ community. And I'll just jump from there. Here's another article. Pete Buttigieg challenges Vice President Pence on the LGBTQ rights. He says, your quarrel is with my Creator. And he goes on and talks about his lifestyle. The point that I want to make, ladies and gentlemen, here's a man that talks about his Creator. So let's think about the subject of his creation. He's Creator. God created us. It is God that created man and woman. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Ladies and gentlemen, God did not create a mistake. God did not create a transsexual. God did not create a homosexual. God did not create a freak. God did not create a shim. He created a he and a her. He created him and her. He created only two sexes, male and female, man and woman. And so for any human being to be arrogant enough, prideful enough, boastful enough in his immoral declension and his sin, as Pete Buttigieg, it should cause every moral, ethical American and Christians in particular to be absolutely violently ready to vomit over what we're hearing. And that perhaps is a little crude sounding, but it's absolutely true. We need to understand where we are. Here's a man that the sodomite lifestyle, with the sodomite lifestyle, that the fake media and the politically correct view are all gloating over him. He speaks so eloquently, the media says. He can speak seven languages, and they say it in a hush. He can speak seven languages too. And then he's one that is a Rhodes Scholar, whatever that's supposed to connote. He is a military veteran. He is openly homosexual. He is married to a man. Since when do we somehow, some way, as sane people, ethical people, moral Americans, simply say, okay, God made Pete that way, so I'm not going to say anything, because I certainly do not want to be in the category of coming against his Creator. And that's the agenda that he's setting. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what I want us to understand. Okay, let's do some basic biblical analysis. Yes, God created Pete Buttigieg, so he is his Creator. That is true. God is Creator, and yet we must remember that God is also controller, and God is the one that is the ultimate judge. And ladies and gentlemen, the scripture is very clear that God created male and female. God in Genesis 1 and 2, everything that he created, created the heavens and the earth and everything that's in them. And each thing that you read the 6 days of creation, it says, and he created it and he saw it was good. It was good. It was good. So why would God create a sodomite, say it is good, And then in the same scripture, the word of God condemned him to die and burn in a devil's hell for living that lifestyle. That's not the kind of God I serve. Ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand we are intelligent enough to understand that God did not create a sodomite, a man or a woman that would so-called fall in love with and cohabitate with or marry one of the same sex. It's an impossibility. God didn't do that. It is a volitional choice. Keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, God created us in his image. God is a trichotomous being with what you would call mind, will, and emotion. He created us with mind, will, and emotion. We have a will, a volitional choice that we can say, we're not robots. God did not create us as creatures that will be somehow a freak of nature, as you would call it, and think of it. So God is creator. Pete Buttigieg says that if you have a problem with any issue with his perverted homosexual sodomite lifestyle, you must take it up with his creator. What is he doing? What is he saying? Literally, ladies and gentlemen, he's trying to shut the mouths of anyone that would say anything against it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is spiritual demonic warfare as I have never seen in my lifetime. We are battling demons in the world today. And it's demons coming out of the fake news media. It's demons coming out of the mouths of those of the politically correct today and those that are feigning to be Christians and saying that we need to embrace Pete Buttigieg and say everything is all right. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not so at all. Would God create Pete Buttigieg or any other sodomite and then condemn him for his lifestyle? You must ask that question and answer it clearly. And the answer is unequivocally no. God would not create a person that has a lifestyle and a propensity to do as the sodomites do and then say, God created me that way, therefore I'm this way. Ladies and gentlemen, that has been disproven so succinctly and so clearly down through the years. In fact, scientists are saying there's no such thing as a sodomite DNA, no homosexual DNA, no such thing as a gay DNA. You can take an individual human being that's a sodomite. If you put it in the young blood vernacular, very crudely stated, you slice him up, dice him up, look at him under the microscope. Nothing that says sodomite lifestyle. It does not involve anything in that human DNA. It is a volitional choice. It is a decision and the propensity to sin. So let's be very clear, as the politically correct group calls it today. Let's be clear. The Bible clearly reveals that God condemns any sodomite, homosexual, gay activity and lifestyle. Clearly put, it's impossible to be a living in a sodomite lifestyle and consider yourself being saved. A saved person must repent of his sins. When the woman in the scripture was caught in adultery and brought before Jesus, he forgave her and says, I forgive you, go and sin no more. So if you say that I'm a sodomite and you're saved, that means you've repented from your sins. You're no longer living in that sodomite lifestyle. Ladies and gentlemen, it's very, very clear that God has condemned that lifestyle. In fact, it's when a person through his own free will, his own sin nature, decides what he or she wants to do is that which is in total disobedience to the Word of God. This is called sin. And sin entered the Garden of Eden, ladies and gentlemen, with Adam and Eve, where God said, don't. They did, and God called it sin, and they were cast out of the garden. And as a result of that fall, that sin, man is sinful today. You don't have to commit sin today, ladies and gentlemen, to be a sinner. We're born sinners. Our DNA is sinful. We say no to what we ought to say yes to. We say yes to what we ought to say no to. The Apostle Paul dealt with that in the 7th chapter of the book of Romans. He says, this old sinful nature that I have, the very things I know I ought to do, I do. Those things that I know I ought not to do, those very things I do. Woe is me. What am I going to do with this dead man of sin carrying around on my back? Ladies and gentlemen, it's an impossibility for Pete Buttigieg to talk about being saved and being a Christian. It's a progressive Christian, if you want to look at it that way. It's something outside of the will and the realm and the way of God, if you want to say that. But it is simply untrue to say that you're a sinner, that you're saved, if you're living in that lifestyle. There is not only the fact that we see God is creator, we see he created us, but the conflict comes in, ladies and gentlemen, when we blame that sin on God. That is a conflict. That is a conflict of the Word of God. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, It is when that sinful human nature takes control and we say yes to what we should say no to. But what does God's word say specifically relating to the sin of sodomy? It is very, very clear, ladies and gentlemen, in Genesis chapter 19, verse 4 and 5, it's talking about Sodom and Gomorrah. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house about, both young and old, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, saying unto him, where are the men which came unto thee last night? Bring them out to us that we may know them. The word know them is a euphemism in the scripture for sexual relationship. The whole city of Sodom and Gomorrah, absolutely saturated with sodomites, men with men. And what did God do? How did God treat it? Did God say, oh, well, you made a mistake? God said, oh, you're good guys. You're Christians. You're saved. And it's okay. I just want to love you because I created you. That's the mindset of Pete Buttigieg. But no, that's not what God did. God didn't say that. God said in Genesis 19, verse 24 and 25, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from heaven, from out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities that are round about the plains, all the inhabitants of the cities that which gave up upon, that walked upon the ground. Ladies and gentlemen, God destroyed two cities because of the lifestyle of sodomy. And yet somehow, some way, we become so progressively open-minded with the popular current view that says homosexuality has been around for centuries. It's okay. God created them that way. And the political worldview says that, you know, it's something that we ought to embrace. It's something we ought not to say anything bad about. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just read you a little brief synopsis, a little brief quote here. This goes back into the 60s and 70s. William Rubenstein, a Stanford University law professor who formerly headed up the ACLU legal efforts for the gay rights movement, says, and I quote, quote, this is what he's saying now. What you're seeing now is a building process. Slowly, court decisions will build the national consensus, but it's got to be bottom up, not top down. Small decisions, layer after layer, over a long period of time to get what we want in the homosexual law and the homosexual living. Ladies and gentlemen, that's happened today. That's where we are today. In fact, in Leviticus chapter 20 and in verse 13, the scripture says, if a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, that's a stench in the nostrils of God, they shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, when you look at what the scripture says in Romans chapter 1, verse 24 and following, it is very, very clear that God does not condone sodomite lifestyle. In fact, in verses 18 through 22 of chapter 1 of Romans, the condemnation of the reprobate, they reject God's word, they rebel against God's way that you find in those verses. And then in Romans chapter 1, verse 19 through 23, we see the cause of the reprobate. He refuses God's way. He relies upon godlessness. And that's exactly what we see today. But the ultimate consequence of that reprobate mindset is that God gave them up to uncleanness, that sinful lust in their hearts and their lives. Verse 26, God gave them up to vile affections. And that's what we find in Pete Buttigieg today and his lifestyle. And God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Ladies and gentlemen, you must ask the question, what is a reprobate mind? A reprobate mind is very, very clear, and it talks about it in the scripture here in Romans chapter 1, verse 29 and 30 in particular. They're backbiters, haters of God, despisers, deceitful, proud, boastful, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, truce breakers, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, and unmerciful. Ladies and gentlemen, it's clear. When God gave them up to a reprobate mind, listen very carefully as we close. God gave them up to a reprobate mind. Pete Buttigieg and his lifestyle and his like, his kind, literally God has released them to a reprobate mind. God has said, okay, if you want to live in the vile affections, if you want to live against God, if you want to break God's word, God's way, God's law, God's walk, then you can do so. A reprobate mind simply means depraved, corrupt, sinful, immoral, shameless, wicked, evil, profligate, degenerate, damned, debauched, desolate, corrupt, lost-minded, unruly. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what we see today. And we need to pray. Look up, lift up your head, the scripture says, for our redemption draweth nigh. We need to pray and ask God to intervene before it's too late for America. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening today and joining in this broadcast. Looking forward to facing the issues with you tomorrow as once again we face the issue.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.